between Kenny and Ricardo. I'm not on top of any of this this morning. But so three weeks ago, I woke up on a Sunday morning, and Kenny was preaching, so it wasn't me. And I came up with this word, and I thought, what in the world is this for? It must be during the offerings. There's a little bit about giving in here. So I thought, I'm going to do that. But as soon as I stood up that morning, I felt like I wasn't supposed to give it. So I stopped. I was like, all right, I won't do it. And while Robbie was here last weekend, this he alluded to a lot of things about obedience. And I really feel like the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'm going to share, if you want to open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel 15. I'm going to share out this passage. And then as Kenny and I were talking this week, we're kind of getting a plan for the next few weeks as far as the preaching schedule. I told him I was going to go on this. He goes, that's really funny. I had something like that in my heart. And I said, well, I'm going to go out as 1 Samuel 15. He goes, well, that's funny. So am I. So you're going to hear 1 Samuel 15 today. Next week, you'll hear something a little bit different. And then you're going to hear 1 Samuel 15 again in 3 weeks. So we're going to enjoy this passage. But this is one of those stories that we've heard and we take in verses 22 and 23. Oh, we always take these verses and go, disobedience is like rebellion, is like witchcraft. And any of these, we'll get there. But really what my heart is this. I want to see a church that's walking in obedience. Too many times we focus, and we're going to talk about disobedience. But next week we're going to really focus more on how to walk in obedience. And obedience is where the blessing's at. And the blessing of the Lord comes from obedience. And when you understand that in Isaiah 1, it says that the willing and the obedient shall eat the fruit of the land. We're going to get there next week. But I can't wait. Before we get to the walking in the fullness of obedience, we need to maybe address some things that are in disobedience in our heart today. And that's what I feel like the Lord's put on my heart. So put a seatbelt on. I got a lot of notes. And we're going to just see where the Lord takes us. But those that know the story, 1 Samuel 15. Before I do, let me stop. I just saw Kim walk in. Would you do me a favor? These lights are great. How is your family doing, Kim? Good. Beth told me on Facebook, Kim's sister Natalie passed away this week. And so if you would, just be praying for that family. They might not live around here anymore, but they are like family to me and in this church. They've been a blessing. But be in prayer for their family. I just saw you walking in. Alan's hiding behind Caleb now. He's gotten so tall, and that hair of his is just, wow. No, sorry, Caleb. But anyways, just be praying for their family, obviously, in this time of loss. And then I guess, Beth, about your mom and dad had to head back to Florida for some things. So, Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you give comfort and peace to all those that are in the family. Be with Walt and Pam today. And just pray you just put your blessing upon them, your peace and your comfort would be with them even this moment in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. But 1 Samuel 15 is a story about Saul. And God tells him, I want you to go, and I want you to go to the Amalekites, and I want you to kill everything that you see. Now, that sounds like a bad order, but you'll understand when God says go and take out something, it's because there's something in there that needs to be rooted out of. And I'm not going to argue. People go, oh, God tells people to kill in the Old Testament. You know what? There's a lot of stuff that we go through another day. But this was the command of the Lord. Go and do not take anything. Leave every life there. And everything I tell you, do it. Well, so in verse 4, Saul gathered people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah, and Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from the Amalekites, and lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from them among the Amalekites. And Saul wrote, smote the Amalekites. That's hard to say, by the way. Amalekites from Havilah unto thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of Amalekite, alive. Could they make an easier word for me? And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, and the lambs that was good and would utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile refused, they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord to Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned his back from following me, and has not performed the commandments, my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Let me just stop and I'm going to get to this passage. We'll finish it. God tells Saul, I want you to go and I want you to do this. And Saul obeys almost. Just a challenge for all of us in the room. When you almost obey, it's still disobedience. Partial obedience is still disobedience. Just because we obey the Lord a little bit, when you don't do it all, but look at this, it grieved the Lord. He said, I repent. I want to change my, I wish I didn't even put him as king. That's a pretty serious thing there. God is so angry that the disobedience caused here, yet he did, he killed everyone but one, the king. They destroyed everything but what was valuable. And so when you see, these are the facts of the case, because we're going to get to, and you're going to see some things that come out here, you're like, that's not quite lining up with the facts. Verse 12, and when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him in a place, and has gone and passed on, and gone to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul and said, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the command of the Lord. Huh? That's not what happened, is it? That's not what happened. But that's what Saul says. What Samuel says, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and lowering of the oxen which I hear? I thought you said you obey the Lord. What I'm hearing and seeing is in accordance to the Lord. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen, sacrificed unto the Lord thy God, and the rest have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said to him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy all the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them and be everything be consumed. Wherefore, thou didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in thy sight. And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way the Lord sent me. And I even brought the king, Agag, and utterly destroyed all the Amalekites. But the people, But the people took the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things which have been utterly destroyed and sacrificed to the Lord and the God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. That's harsh, isn't it? This is the way God looks at disobedience, though. This is the way that God looks at a heart when we disobey. Now, he's not rejecting you today. He loves you, and there's grace and there's mercy. Unfortunately for Saul, as king, there wasn't. As a king, he was to fulfill the duty of the Lord upon his life, and that was it. And when he didn't do it, there was consequences. And Saul said to Samuel, verse 24, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commands of the Lord and thy words. Ready? Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. This morning, by the way, I'm going to stop there. Keep reading the next 6-8 verses. Saul was removed as king because of this. When I read that a couple weeks ago on a Sunday morning, I thought, wow, that's more than just an offering. What is this? I mean, am I supposed to call Kenny and say, but I waited and it brewed in me. And the Lord began to speak to me over and over again throughout the last few weeks about areas in my life where I have not been in full obedience. And where there's been disobedience. Whether it's in my personal walk with him, in my time, we'll get to that in just a minute. And the Lord is wanting me to experience this word before I could preach this word. And I really believe that there's times in our life where we have to examine ourselves, because how many times have we done something because we feared the results of what others would say? In this verse, I'm not going to focus on, because I do know that Kenny said he's going to focus more on this in a couple weeks. But this verse struck me as I was there praying for myself. I did everything, but what I didn't do in obedience is because I had fear in me. When we make decisions based in fear, it'll always bring poor consequences. So when we talk about rebellion, the sin of witchcraft. Let me share a few things with you. Rebellion is always begins in our heart. When we start feeling that the room for disobedience, it breeds that ground and it gets in our heart and we want to do our own thing. We want to be in control. We want to make our own decisions. We don't want to submit to God's authority or others' authority. We don't want to learn to honor the rules around us. We want to do it our way. And when we think we have it our way, and this is why it's such an abomination to God. When you think you can do things better than the way that God created them, that's pretty arrogant, isn't it? God gave us this right here as a guideline to live by, not as a mandated bunch of rules and regulations. This is built out of relationship. When we read his word and he says, don't do this, it's probably because there's something in there that's good for us. God is not someone who just puts a bunch of commandments out there and says, if you don't do this, I'll smite you. No, it's when you don't do this, you will walk in the curse of that. I am protecting you. These are things of protections. I love this analogy I've used for years. When you're driving by, a couple of weeks ago, we were down in Gatlinburg, and we were driving through the mountains, and I wasn't driving because I just get tired of driving, so we gave the wheels over to Carmine, and he was driving, and there's a few times where when he was looking at something over the edge of the mountain, I was in the passenger seat. It got real close for me. I saw the edge a little closer than I wanted to. I was wishing at that point, man, I wish there was more than a white line here. I wish there was a guardrail. I wish there was something that when he decided to go, oh, look, that's pretty, that so did the wheel go a little bit that way. And there wasn't much room to move the wheel, by the way, if those roads are skinny back in the national park. So when we finally stopped and I was able to breathe a little bit, actually it was real sad on the way there. We saw a motorcycle hit one of the corners and missed the curve and went over the edge. And so that was really sad. All the bikers were lined up. It's a really tight area. And so I thought a guardrail would be good. That's what this is. God's protection is guardrails. If you want to drive over the white line all the time and take risks, that's fine. But you're living in a life that's not in the blessing of the Lord. Why would we want to live so close to the world that we just, I'm not living in the world, but I'm pretty darn close. Why would you not want to move over there to the center line, especially when there's no cars coming the other way, and just live in a place of God's safety, his design? And then the guardrail over there is past the white line or sometimes the yellow line, and that is to protect you when you do fail. When you do go past the line and when you do cross over and you fail, God's guardrail is like, hey, I'm here to get you so you don't destroy yourself. But some of us are like, you know what? I hate guardrails. I can't even see over the guardrail. It's blocking my view. Okay. One day, I hope you don't need that guardrail. And that's what God's word should do to us. It's not to control you. It's to govern you. It's to protect you. God wants to protect us. And that's why when we get to some of the issues about convictions in your life, what movies we watch, what we eat, what we drink, and all the things that we do, we got to be very careful that we don't open up doors that God closed. Amen. All right, good. I just want to stop so you're listening. We have to make sure that we don't participate in putting ourselves over towards that line. And that line is so close over here that all we need, we're one drink away. We're one word away. We're one action away from falling over to a place where it's hard to find your way back. I'm telling you, this is not fear-driven. This is relationship. God wants you to live in such a community of relationship with him and believers around you that we don't want to live that way anymore. I hope and pray that when you walk out of here, it's not that you go in here, well, I need to grow in this area. It's, God, I want to learn to love you so much and honor you so much I don't even want to live that way anymore. You want to get rid of lust in your heart? Start falling in love like that song we did earlier. I want to look at your face. It's hard to lust after something evil when you're looking at the face of God. It's hard to want something that's unholy when you're in the presence of the holy himself. And that's what we have to learn to do. We got to get ourselves away from those things and walk in a place of obedience. So Psalm 78:8, I think, actually it's right here in my Bible real quick. Let me read this. It says this, and might not be as their fathers, which I'm jumping in there. I hate doing this. But anyways, but look at the same wording used. He doesn't, don't be like your fathers, stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that has set not their hearts upright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. When we walk in a place of rebellion, which is an idolatry and stubbornness, we set our hearts against the will of the Lord for our lives. Last weekend, I hope all of you were stirred. I hope all of you were able to hear some of the testimonies of some of the miracles we've seen and some of the heart. And it wasn't just a physical healing here. It wasn't just this. It was all the above. It was that there was a part. The Lord spoke to my heart Friday night after I went to bed. I went to sleep. I got up Saturday morning before the meetings here. And the Lord just kind of, it was a subtle rebuke for me, really. It was like this weekend, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know who Robbie Dawkins was. Honestly, I heard a few things that Kenny shared with me. I watched him online, a YouTube video. And we really didn't even know what to expect. He came in Friday, and we're like, hey, we sat down in that room with him, and he's like, well, what do you guys want to do this weekend? And he basically said, my schedule's yours. And we were like, really? And I thought Kenny was like, yes. You know, so he announced him Friday night as my new BFF. I just want you to know. So Kenny, and then when he gave us, I think I might have told this from the, I don't know if I said this last week, but no, I think I was telling Mark. But when Robbie gave us the cell phone number, he says, here's your cell phone number. He goes, go ahead and text Kenny the number. And so I texted him and said, your new BFF. And so Kenny's got Robbie's number in as his new BFF. But what that's all I knew of him was Kenny loved hearing this guy preach. So I thought, well, Lord, if there's something for me that I need to receive and be imparted, I'm just going to set this aside a week. I put all the work, everything, I'm going to focus on hearing, God, what do you have for us? And I went there Friday night and was amazed. It wasn't what God had for us. It was what God wanted to activate in us. I thought, whoa, this is not what I expected. And the Lord spoke to me that next morning when I got up and was processing the night before. He said, you were looking for an impartation. Instead, the church needs to learn how to get activations. And I thought, well, thank you. Because he said that night. Remember, Robbie was speaking that. You need to be activated what's already in there. We keep waiting for someone to go, oh, Lord, lay hands. You get more. And says, like, whoa, I got it. I got all of Christ. I got the Holy Ghost in me. I got the power of God inside of me. Now it's time to activate that in us and go forth. And I thought, that's what we need more of. But last week we went through that. And as the Lord stirred me, how do you walk with the Lord greater? You walk in greater obedience. You grow up in greater honor to his word. And you put your desires aside and honor his desires instead. Every decision we make. And so this week, as I did that throughout the week, I began to pray about things to do and not do. And I woke up yesterday and I felt like I was supposed to do something else. And I got up and did something totally different instead because I felt led to do that. And I was like, Lord, I feel good about it. Why? Because every day is what Ricardo was saying. Lord, you set my schedule. You set my priorities. You set these things. And I want to walk in obedience to that. So when we walk in disobedience, it causes a few problems. Let's look at this text. And I'm going to share with you a few things in this text that we find. In verse 20, you're going to see this. The first thing disobedience does, it leads us to deception. You know, Saul said when Samuel confronted him, twice he said, I did what the Lord wanted me to. But did he? No. When we walk in just a little bit of disobedience, the first thing it does, it causes us to be deceived. We try to cover our own. Those that have been caught in sin, you understand that when you're caught in sin or you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, the first thing you try to do is cover it up. You lie about it. Oh, I didn't do that. I didn't say that. I've done it myself, okay? First thing we try to do is just make it better than what it looked. Disobedience leads to deception. If you don't get into repentance, that's when it leads into a full-blown rebellion in your heart. But the first thing Saul did was he deceived by saying, I did what the Lord wanted. And then when he got pressed a little bit further, he started saying, well, I brought the king, and I took only the best things. He started doing human reasoning. Next thing, after we walk in a place of disobedience, we try to deceive ourselves by saying we're doing the right thing. Then we start making excuses to back our reasoning. So then we're saying, well, okay, we killed everybody but the king because we thought we'd bring the king in. And we took everything else evil we destroyed. We promised everything bad we killed. We took care of everything. But we kept only the good, well, because we want to sacrifice those to God. You see where there's a problem here. We start with getting disobedient. Then we start being deceived. And now we're starting having our human reasoning on why we did what we did. And then we go back. Then I love the next one is, then we start passing blame. We go from excuses to blame. Oh, you know what? No, I forgot. It was the people. They took the stuff. You see, the progression of Saul here is pretty sad. He disobeys. He then deceives. And then he makes excuses. And then he starts blaming the people. And yet he was king. And he should have been the one ruling over that situation. In our own lives, I believe this is the same thing we go through when we allow disobedience in our life. We get deceived. And then we start walking in a place of reasoning, justifying why we did it, maybe trying to argue with people a little bit. No, I'm not wrong. Then we start making excuses until finally Saul repents. When Saul repents, though, unfortunately, in his case, it was too late. Today, it's not for us. It's never too late to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I repent of those areas of disobedience in my life. That is where we're going to go this morning in just a few minutes. So next week, I want to stop and give you a little bit next week. If you would, open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 28. It's only a few books back. This is probably one of my favorite chapters. But I'm going to read a few verses in here about obedience for a second. And next week we'll talk more about that. That way you can go, I can come back next week. Because this week we're going to get to a few more things about disobedience before you leave. You're not out of the woods yet. Let's read verse 1. And it shall come to pass that if you obey, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord. Remember that? It says if you to obey is better than sacrifice. And then it goes on to say to hearken the voice of the Lord is better than. So when we learn to obey and listen, you're going to see this right here in this verse. The blessing when you do it versus don't. Because I don't want to leave you all hanging. The voice of the Lord, and observe to do all the commandments which I commanded this day, that the Lord will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall be in the city, blessed shall be in the field, blessed in the fruit of thy body, blessed in the ground and the fruit of the cattle, increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed be thy basket and thy store. And I'm going to stop because that's next week. Next week, we're going to talk about the rest of those verses and what they imply in your life. I don't want to jump ahead because then you guys would get all excited about being blessed. But today, we want to block us because in verse 15, let's jump there because that's where we're going to have to stake today. But it shall come to pass if thou wilt not obey or hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe all his statutes, which I command thee today, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Stop there. The blessing of obedience versus the curses of disobedience. At the end of the chapter, it says, look, today I have set thee before thee a choice. Blessing or curse, life or death. Choose which way you'll. And we're going to talk about that more later. So when we talk about this decision making between disobedience and obedience, this isn't anything that God is causing you to do or not do. This is something we have to choose every day to live in. So let's jump into some things. When it comes to obedience, there's three types of it. There's omission and commission, but under commission, I'm going to put one more underneath there. So basically, when we disobey the Lord, we either disobey him by doing what we shouldn't be doing or not doing something we should do. When we don't do something we should, if you want to put those verses up for Psalms 24, Kenny actually shared with me this last week where we were kind of comparing these notes. And when I told him I was going to talk about disobedience, he shared these verses with me, and I want to get there so I can read them from my Bible. Psalms 24. Let's just start at verse 1. Sorry, computer person. I just have to. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and the world that they dwelt therein, and he had founded upon the seas and established upon the earth of the floods. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands, a pure heart, not lifted his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Four things right there that I'm not going to talk about right now. But he who ascends to the holy hill, clean hands, pure heart, not lifted his soul to vanity of pride, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is the generation that seek him, that seeks his face. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up for everlasting doors, that the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even ye the everlasting doors, the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. My heart this morning as we sang that song, Show Me Your Glory, is that this, who can ascend to the holy place of God? Those that are walking in obedience. Their hands are clean, their hearts are pure, and God is longing for a church that stops using our hands to meddle in darkness, our hearts allowing that stuff to get in there, and start allowing ourselves to be obedient to the things of God, intimate with him. And these things in disobedience, point number one about doing things we shouldn't be doing, anything you do in your life right now in acts of disobedience is causing you to separate yourself from the holy God we serve. When we partake in evil, it becomes a part of us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians about sexual sin specifically. He says, when a man commits sin, every other sin is outside the body, but sexual sin is the connection of two bodies. Sin gets in you and it sows discord in your life between you and God and you and others. When we were singing that song, Show Me Your Glory, as I want to look upon your face, as I was preparing this morning, obviously my heart's here. I saw this as clear as day this morning. I saw, and I almost stopped, but I didn't. As we're looking at the face of God, I know some people in the room have a difficulty looking there. And I thought, then I got thinking, when I was a kid, and I knew I was doing something wrong, and my dad wanted me to look at him, and he talked to me, I just couldn't look at him. I just couldn't look at him because I had guilt and I had shame. I knew I did something wrong. I want to today remove that feeling from everyone in this room. I want us to live a life where we're no longer in shame, no longer feeling guilty, and no longer feeling condemnation. Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But the only way we get there is by repenting of the things in our life that we're doing that's causing us to feel that way. You can't just sit there and go, God, I want to feel so close to you, and yet you live so far away. Then you become like the Pharisees he criticized. He says, remember with the Pharisee, he goes, you say the right words, but your heart is so far from me. And I know as Christians, that is one of my biggest concerns. As many would come that on that last day and say, Lord, Lord, look what I've done. He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I didn't know you. You said the right words. You prophesied my name. You cast out devils, but you didn't know me. And as a church, there's speculation. You hear all these stupid statistics that I don't even know are true. But they say that less than half the people who go to church on Sunday mornings are actually born-again Christians. Going to a religious service doesn't save you. Praying a prayer that says, oh God, I want to live closer to you, but not living a life and receiving his gift of salvation, that's where faith comes. Faith to receive salvation is what gets you to heaven. Not good works, not saying good prayers for your meal. Lord, bless my meal and, you know, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, you know. These are not things that, what gets you to heaven is grace through faith in Christ. That's salvation. And I'd hate to have anyone in this church miss the mark. We live one way, we talk one way. We at the end of our lives, I don't want to be a pastor and be accountable for somebody in this building right here not to make it because I didn't preach a message of truth. The only way to meet the man upstairs, no, the only way to meet God is through Jesus Christ. Not to hide the facts, but the way we meet him is to know him through relationship. And then once you know him, once you're married, do you guys, you married folks here, once you got married, good enough. You sleep in different rooms, you don't talk anymore, no. You grow in that marriage, and you get closer, and you learn about each other's weaknesses. That's more fun. Strengths, weaknesses, they collide. And when you get to know each other more and more, you start loving each other in spite of things because relationship is stronger. Not, but you don't give up and quit. And in the kingdom, Robbie said something last weekend, the most dangerous place to be, yet the most safest place to be is in the center of God's will. Because God protects you there. He blesses you there. He strengthens you there. He gives you grace there. He gives mercy there. So yes, being there means that the enemy knows that you're a threat to the kingdom of darkness. But being there also allows God's provision and blessing and grace to make provision for you to live there. We don't ever want to back off. And I know the reason why I want to make sure we understand that is when I was a kid, I grew up, well, you know, if you obey God, you might go to some mission field out there and you never know what God has for you. I know what God has for me. To live a life of the blessing he's given me. To put the seed in me to go sow it out there to everyone around me. And I know that he would not cause me to do something that he didn't give me the passion for. So he's not going to send you over. He wants you to be right in the center of his will. That's where provision and grace, protection and strength is right there. But the way we do that is not allowing ourselves to open these doors up through sin in our lives. A lot of times when we wonder why we're feeling certain ways, you've opened up doors in your life. Whether it's through pornography, drugs, alcohol, what you eat, what you read. When we open up doors in our life, these are areas of rebellion that God wants to root out today. He wants to root these things out of our life, that what you look at, what you listen to, what you're a part of, what you partake in, he wants to get rid of these things in your life so you can cause to live a life of holiness. You know, one of the reasons why I get so upset about people, telling you what you can and cannot do, you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. He can convict you. You know, one of the greatest, I told this to Kenny all the time. Kenny shares his testimony about, he goes, listen, the day that I gave my life to Jesus, the first thing I do, I had to quit drinking. I have more respect for him because you know what? Today's culture, well, you know, what a glass of wine with our meal, it won't hurt nothing. For him it would because God told him not to. But don't you put that conviction on so-and-so over here because they don't have that. But I'll get to those in just a second. I'm jumping ahead of my notes. Because for him it'd be sin because God told him not to. We got to live a life with such integrity that we don't do the things that God causes you to tell you not to. Don't do them. Simple answer to fix the sin problem. Stop it. That sounds so easy. Don't do it. When temptation comes knocking at your door, slam the door harder shut. When temptation comes at you to lie or to do something over here, shut the door. And say, no, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not opening up a door to the devil in my life today. I will not allow disobedience to come in my body. No more. I will say no to anything that comes my way. But the other two things I want to share with you are the sins, actually avoiding or not doing what we should be doing. If you have your Bibles, Romans 14:23, we're going to keep the theme going alive right here. Romans 14 is the scripture that we like to avoid because it becomes controversial. Did I just say, I just said a word like Kenny says words. I said controversial. Kenny, you notice that Kenny pronounces words so much more accurate than I do. I just kind of, you know, run things together. But Romans 14 is the chapter about different living with people with different convictions. It talks about people being weak in the faith. You know who's weak in the faith? People being offended by what others are doing. If you get offended because someone's drinking a Miller Lite with their meal, then grow up. Just being honest with you. If you get offended because somebody is drinking a glass of wine or they're eating a cheeseburger at McDonald's or they're watching a movie that you don't approve of, grow up. I love you all, but I'm just being honest with you. That is the definition right here. Those that are becoming weak, they get offended by what others are doing. Now, if you got conviction about it and you really, what the Holy Spirit puts upon you, boy, I'm really concerned about that person, that's different. You're not being offended. Pray for them. Pray that God would show them the error of their deception. I'm not saying we walk away from truth. I'm saying let's stop judging and criticizing people because all it's doing is it's putting something inside of you that's causing you to stumble. You have different convictions because God spoke to you differently. I'm not here to tell you what you can and cannot do. I'm here to tell you that you got a God living inside of you. God lives in you, the Holy Spirit, to speak to you what is wrong and right. So when we talk about now these types of sin, about doing what we shouldn't be doing, let's make sure that we do everything that God says to do. And verse 23 says this. Well, actually, let's go verse 22. This is my dad's verse. My dad actually, I think, quotes this verse once every conversation with me. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself and that which he allows. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eats not in faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. The number one thing I like to share with you about this is, years ago, someone asked me, do you believe in doctors as a church? And I'm like, yeah, they're I see them on TV all the time. They're real people. Of course I believe in doctors. I'm not stupid. I said, no. Do you believe in going to doctors? I said, sure. And then a couple years go by, and I'm going to pick on her because I'd like to pick on Deb. I was talking to Deb one day about someone we were praying for, and how when we were praying for him, there was a conviction upon me that I did not feel that them going through this surgical procedure was the right thing. And I prayed about it, and I realized I was talking to her. You feel bad. After men's group on Monday night, sometimes I have a tendency of Mark and Deborah sitting there like this last week to talk to them for like, 20, 30 minutes, and they're like, oh, we got to go because I enjoy it. But this was years ago, and Deb looked at me and said something I've never forgot. She says, well, you can go to a doctor. Is she in faith? Or are they in faith going to the doctor? I was puzzling. What do you mean by that? Well, are they going in faith? Whatever you don't do in faith is sin. If you go to a doctor in faith, believing that God's called you to go to that place and have that procedure or that whatever, and you're doing it in faith, the blessing of God's going to be upon you. But if you're doing it with doubt and unbelief and fear, that is what's going to cause us to go down a path that could be destructive. You and I both know that if we go through something that we don't have complete peace about, that we're not believing God told us to do it, the consequences of that are now on you. We can pray all you want. Pray. But the problem is when you open that door, the consequence of that action is, now we can pray for mercy and grace to cover it, and I believe it can. But I learned something that day. So then when I began to pray for people from that day forward, I had a whole different perspective. And that is, if they're doing this in faith, God rewards faith. Huh. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him in faith. And so if every decision we make in our life is based on doing it in faith, there's a blessing attached to it. But the only way you get faith is to be in accordance to God's word. So you got to hear it. And I remember we've had some situations over the last 20-something years in this church where people have went through hardships because of decisions. And you know what you do is you pray with them, you stand with them, and you love them through it. But there are times that disobedience or not walking in faith has consequences that are hard. And that's not a fun word for anyone in the room. I know you're like, oh, I don't want to hear that today. I know. But when we walk in faith, there's a blessing attached to it. But when we operate, anything that's not of faith is sin. So if you can pick up, in this case right here, it is actually talking about what you eat and drink. So if you can pick up a glass of wine and have it with your meal and be in faith, then that's between you and God. But if you pick up that glass of wine and deep down you know in your gut it don't feel right, hey, that could be opening up a door for you that could lead you down a path of destruction. And I'm here to warn you, that is bigger conviction than saying, that's why I have more respect for people who say, listen, God said no. You better listen. Dr. Malone, one of my spiritual mentors, fathers in my life, years ago the Lord told him not to drink coffee and not to eat pork, I think, when he was in Pakistan. He went there for something like 60 trips. I've been with that man multiple times. Multiple times I've been with him over the years, whether it's traveling to different states or whether it's going overseas with him. That man drinks tea like you wouldn't believe, but he won't drink coffee. Why? Because God told him not to. And I asked him one day, I said, why do you think this? I don't know. All I know is the Lord spoke to me as clear as I'm talking to you right now. He wanted me to give up coffee. And I don't know if it was a discipline issue back then, I don't know, but God told him that. And that man has obeyed the Lord since then. This is what I want to share with you right now. Obeying the Lord to do what he's told you to not do, or to not do what he's told you to do, those areas right there is what's going to cause blessing and curse in your life. When God says it, you obey it. Anything, though, you do in faith, you'll be blessed with. But you got to hear God. Every decision we make. So let me go back and repeat some of the things I said a second ago. When it comes to movies, I'll share one story, and I think I have a few seconds to share this. Beth and I were in another city with a minister, actually, and we watched a movie that I'm going to remain nameless because I don't want to bring any undue conviction upon any of you in the room, okay? But it wasn't even a rated R movie, okay? I want to keep that. So we're watching this movie, and while we're in the theater, the two ministers we're with are laughing hysterically at this movie, and I'm like, this is not supposed to be this funny because I'm a Christian, but man, is it really dirty and funny. No cussing, but everything was just, the humor was really off. And I'm like feeling like, we're like, why are we here in this theater? We feel awkward. Yet the ministers that brought us, because they wanted to watch a movie that day, was laughing hysterically. And so I thought, oh, I guess my convictions are off. No big deal. So what I did is I went back and watched the first one. I'm gonna give it away now. I went back and watched the other one I didn't see. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is so funny. But in the inside of me, it wasn't funny. There was a conviction inside of me that it wasn't right. But I did it anyways. Because I thought, oh, it's okay for them. It must be okay for me. And I watched it. And then, now I'm going to give the whole thing away. And then a group of people from our church came back to Martinsville. This is years ago, folks. We're sitting there watching this movie. Now with our own church people. And I am as sick to my stomach as I could be. I mean, I'm like, God, get me out of this theater. And I was sitting next to people who I go to church with. And so what I did was I, at some point during the movie, I just kind of put my head down and said, Lord, forgive me. A, I'm not being a very good example as a pastor here. And B, how did my convictions go so wrong? Why am I here? That wasn't a filthy, there's no nudity in the movie. And I left there, and I was talking to one of the guys in church, and he says to me, well, that was really rough. I said, yeah, you're not telling me. And we began to share about our experiences, about how conviction hit us. I should have walked out of the theater. And that wouldn't be my first. I've walked out of more than one theater in my life. I should have walked out. That would have done more for the kingdom. Was it a bad movie? To me, it was. Some of you are in the room right now, hopefully you don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. That's between you and God. But you know what? I was convicted, and I had to repent because I allowed something, and that humor, yes, sexual humor and that kind of funny stuff. Oh, it's funny when you're living there. But why would I want to entertain my life with that when it's not in God's will for my life? So movies are a big area that I just want to challenge you in. Are you watching things that you would allow? If you're watching a bunch of movies that have cussing and nudity, would you let that happen in your home? You are, because you turn your TV on. Just throwing it out there. Not popular. It's going to get real quiet in here. I think it's conclusion time. Oh, wow. Kenny, you got really quiet. Your turn. I think you're up next week. I think I'm done. I'm just throwing it out there. We say we want God. We just sang a song, Show Me Your Glory. Oh, but you know that movie I watched last week with them, with two married couples, you know, committing adultery and fornicating on my TV screen. Now, that's okay. Don't you see there's some hypocrisy in that? I feel there is in my life. And I'm not saying you have to live by the same movie judgments I live by, but I am saying, are we careful what comes in our lives? Because that is also sin. When you know to do good and you don't do it, that's also sin. If you can't go to the movie theater in faith, believing that you're supposed to be there, then you better get out. It also applies to the music you listen to, the foods you eat, and everything else. The last verse I want to share with you, and this is the one that really woke me up a lot. James 4:17. And I just quoted a second ago, by the way. But that's okay. James 4:17. This is, oh my goodness. This is the one talking about presumption. It really is. He says, if the Lord, you know, tomorrow I'm going to do this, tomorrow I'm going to do that. He goes, no. Don't tell me you're going to do tomorrow. Ask the Lord what his will is for your tomorrow. If the Lord wills, I'll do that. So say, rather than saying, I'm going to go, it's asking God's will to be in everything you do. So it's, if the Lord wills, I'm going to do that. If it's his desire for my life, I'm going to go here. I'm going to do, and these are, it's not that you have to say that out loud, but you got to live that way. Live a way that we don't make decisions based on what we want, but what God wants. Whether it's going on a vacation, whether it's going on a mission trip, whether it's going, doesn't matter what kind of, whether it's, no matter what we do, are we hearing the voice of God? And then he says this, verse 17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. This is the heart of what I really want to share and how we could bridge last week to this week. There's three things that I'm going to close with right now. Number one is on giving. This church last week decided to make a decision. Is that redundant? Okay. We decided to sow a lot of money in a ministry to come to this town. And while we're there, so you know the heart of it, we agreed to pay this much money to bring Robbie Dawkins Ministries to Martinsville. I didn't think it was a lot of money. Others probably think it's a lot, but we're going to leave it at that. Friday night, we raised some money. All that money goes towards that amount. On Saturday, we're sitting at dinner with Robbie. He comes to Kenny and I, and he says, guys, I noticed that with the COVID, I'm not sure, but with the crowds, I don't want you to have to pay the amount of money that we set for you. Whatever comes in the offering, I'll be happy with. I want you to hear, that's Robbie Dawkins, for those that missed him. That's his heart. He didn't come here because he got a paycheck. He came here because he wanted to be here. He came here because when he got here, he saw people that wanted to hear what the Lord was. So he said to us, and I said, well, that's funny you bring that up. Because earlier as I was praying, just so you all know how crazy I am, they asked us on Saturday night, or the crowd, when he can get his message out the most, that he could take up two offerings that night, one for the offering to go towards the guests, the speaker fees, and one to go towards his ministry. Is it ILC? I always say it wrong. ILC. That they did the brunch on that day. After brunch, I was praying and praying and praying. I realized this ministry, we want to sow more into it. And so I said to him, I said, it's funny you bring that up, because I was going to let you know tonight we only want to do one offering, not two. And we want every dime of it to go to ILC. He looked at me kind of, what do you mean? I said, tonight's offering is just going to be a continuation of today's brunch. We want all the money, not to cover our expenses, but to sow it in there more. And then Sunday morning, you all gave and sowed into Robbie Dawkins some more to cover some of our costs. But here's where I was so struck with last weekend. As a church, will you agree with me that the harvest that comes from that seed is going to be so productive in our lives, this city, and in the other nations where he's going? We sowed thousands, I say thousands of dollars. The offering alone on Saturday for just ILC was over $3,000 for throughout the weekend. That makes me happy. Like, that's a lot of money. I know. Isn't that great? Let's get crazy about this. Let's go that. I wish it was more. These people here in this community sowed into ILC between the Sunday, the brunch, and all the offerings we sent, over $3,000. Plus, we were able to give him the fees that we agreed to because the Lord spoke to us to do that. We were able to sow as a church so much. And what I want to reap, I want to reap what happens over there in Iran when he goes and shows another video of him going and having another encounter with a police officer and watching on video a man's hand go like this in front of the camera and watching God heal and save people that we'll never see. That's what we're sowing into. We're sowing into more than just a guy coming to Martinsville. We're sowing our time. And what is this? What, how does this apply to this? Obedience. Did you give because God told you to? This is also a form of rebellion in our lives. We always think about the gross sins out there. But the Bible says, how shall a man rob God? With your tithes and offerings. I talked to someone a couple years ago who doesn't quite believe in the giving like I do. And he says to me, I'm as blessed as I'm not giving my tithe, like he's bragging. I'm like, oh gosh, I don't want to hear it. I'm more blessed this year than I've ever been in my life. So that's great. Your temporary blessings are great. Your man-made hard work is paying off, but it's not the blessing of the Lord. I want the blessing of God. I want his protection from when the thief comes to kill. steal, and destroy. I want to know that he'll rebuke the devourer on my behalf, because that's what Malachi 3 tells me. It doesn't tell me that I'm going to go in there and I'm not going to be blessed. You can be blessed by hard work. Look at the world around you. There's a bunch of people in the world who don't tithe. It doesn't mean they're walking in the will of God, and it doesn't mean they're walking in obedience. Oh, obedience over here, brother. I'm not going to commit adultery. Yeah, but you're not going to pay your tithe. God's eyes, you have stolen from me. Let that sink in. Last weekend, we had the privilege, and I mean the privilege, of sowing into a ministry that impacts millions, millions of lives. I was in tears Sunday, Saturday morning and Saturday night, because I saw what God is doing through this ministry. And I want to sow more, and I want us as a church to continue to sow. But that also is a form of disobedience. Can you see that? God says give and we don't give. It's he who knoweth to do good and doesn't do it. That's sin also. Every year, I'm not joking, I get my tithe report and I look at it and go, oh, wow, I hope that's more than I thought it was. I want to be the person who gives everything I can to the kingdom of God. And you know, as we were sitting there at that brunch on Sunday, Saturday, last week, we try to give a lot of different places. But we both thought, you know what, let's give somewhere. And we both agreed to give a monthly donation to this ministry too. I don't do that a lot, but my heart was so moved. And I thought, Lord, I get to sow some more. Can I just share with you that when money becomes a ruler over you, it becomes a nasty master. Because you got to keep making more. There's never enough. And I can fall prey to that in my own life. As many of you know, I have a business outside of here. And I every week, and there are weeks that I'm praying, and by Tuesday I forgot my prayer because I'm running around so rugged. But this week wasn't that way. And I'm believing that God's going to continue to direct the path and bring the right people, because I know that I lay it down every day. Lord, this is yours. But this church is my passion. This is my heart. And I never want to let anything block it. And I'll tell you, if it does, then I need to repent and move forward. But I don't want to live the rat race just to make money. I want to live a life where the kingdom of God is advancing in everything we do. And part of it is having money to seed for the sower to bless this around us. As we give, here's a question I wrote in my notes. Are we giving to sacrifice, or are we giving in obedience? Hey, I dropped $100 on the plate today. Good. Is that your tithe? Or is that just what you sacrificed this week? Obedience is what God demands when it comes to giving. I don't talk a lot about giving because this church has been blessed. I've been here a long time and we've never had a bill even not even close to get paid. I'm not concerned about money. But last week when I saw how much Abe we were able to sow, I want to encourage you to, let's keep sowing. If you're not, repent and make it up. Let's do this so you can walk in obedience to God. It's not about how much you give. It's about your obedience. Because Saul here took the best of everything to sacrifice to God, and yet that didn't please God. What pleased God is obedience. Please God, obedience. You can give everything. You obey the Lord, and that's where the blessing comes. Give what is the best, but give it in obedience. I want to give the Lord the best still. I want to give him the first fruits. I want to give him what's left over. I want to give him in obedience. Amen? Number two is, are we obeying the Lord with the time that we have? One of the greatest sins of omission is not spending time with God that we need to be spending. Not spending time intimately investing in God. Believe it or not, that's also something. When he tells you to go to spend time in prayer and his word and you don't do it, that's also, he who knows to do good and does not do it, it's sin. It can be sin in your life when you don't do those things that he's called you to build a relationship with him and his word. And we need to get on that more. And for the sake of time, let me just share this and I'll stop because I have a few more. When we do not spend the time investing in our spiritual walk with God, his word, and in prayer, yet we'll spend it on watching Fox News and movies and all the other things we do, what's more productive spiritually for you? His time and his word. Time in his presence. That is the obedience that he's longing for in the church today, is that. And my last one, as the worship team comes on up here, if you turn your Bibles to Mark 16, we're coming full circle to where we were last week. And this is really the heart of why I want to finish this today. Mark 16, verse 15 says this: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The last area that I hope will be the biggest conviction in our lives now is, are we fulfilling the commission God calls to fulfill? We don't look at this as a command, but he says go. This week, I'm not going to have you raise hands, but I have a testimony, not for me, but somebody else. Somebody who wasn't even in this church. But on Friday night, we have I think we're working on getting the rest of the videos up for people. I know it's a lot of, we had a little streaming issue. But our Friday night is up there, and someone watched it. And as soon as we began to pray and they heard what they were doing and how they prayed, they literally took the prayer of faith and said, Lord, and they walked over to somebody that I know and prayed the prayer of faith, and right there on the spot, they got healed. Right there, by watching a video. You guys were here live. Yes, you might have to see it on video too. But there is a mandate that's been put out to this church. It's a mandate put out to me, to you, and us. Are we going to take last weekend as a great revival weekend and how God stirred? We saw people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We saw all kinds of miracles. We saw great things. Or are we going to see it the way it was supposed to be? God sowed into us, activated something inside of us to do something with it. The last point I really want to hit you with it, to have you go home on, is this. What are you doing with what was activated inside of you? What are you doing with it? Because if we look back and keep talking about last weekend as a past event, then everything we sowed into, everything that we did, was just another good weekend. Now the seed is still sown, don't get me wrong. Still, don't go there. But everything, all of our time that we spent, if we don't do something with it, what has been activated, it'll just die again. I don't want to see this die. I don't want to see what's been activated in us dissipate. I want to see this church go out and do the things that book, do greater things. Because that's what we brought Robbie here. It's so we can go do it. So if we're not obeying the Lord in this area, I want to challenge you today. Make this a part of your everyday prayer. God, what you activated me to go and love the lost, to reach the lost, how today can I reach somebody that I didn't get to reach yesterday? That also is obedience. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go. That's a command. If we're not doing it, then we're in disobedience in that area too. So today, I know I share a lot. I know it's probably a lot longer than I thought. Next week, we're talking about the blessing of being in obedience. If anyone wants to hear about it, it's great. But today, there are areas I shared a bunch of. If your convictions have been changed, get them back. Come to the altar in just a second. If you're listening to things, watching things, doing things, let's get rid of those things today. Let's lay them down at the altar before God and say, I repent of opening up my life in these things. And if there are things that you're not doing that you're supposed to be doing, today, repent. Turn the course and say, I will do the things that God's called me to do. So I won't do what I should. I will do what I should. I want to live a life of full obedience. Does this make sense to y'all today? I want to live a life of obedience. I want to do the greater things God's called us to do. And I want to avoid the things that's causing these open doors to block me from intimacy with God. Let's stand to our feet. Team, if you don't mind, come on up forward. If you're coming up this morning, as the prayer team's coming up, I can't be more serious than I am right now. I challenge you to take this today as something that we need to hear and change. If there's any area right now that you're convicted about, you're welcome. You don't have to go to them. You can. But you can go right to this altar and take care of it for you and God yourself. If there's something in your life holding you back, why not today lay it down for good? Why not today say, Lord, I have been a disobedient. I've not been doing the things I've been told to do, or I'm doing things I should be doing. Today I come to the altar and I lay it down before you. I repent. I repent. And I want to live a life of obedience. If that's you this morning as we sing, I just want to challenge you. Please don't just stay there. If you got that feeling inside of you, hey, react, respond. Right now, just respond. Don't let just pride or fear stop you from responding today and repenting. And saying, God, today I want to start over. I want a new beginning. I'll repent for the things that I shouldn't be doing. Repent for the things that I should be doing. Lord, I just want to repent to get a clean slate with you, that I will walk in obedience from this day forward. So as we sing, the altars are open. Let's respond to the Lord this morning.